For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. At least 80 people have been killed by a vehicle bomb in the diplomatic quarter of Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. Most of the casualties are thought to be civilians. Over 350 people have been injured. The explosion happened near the German embassy in Zanbaq Square. Jennifer Glass is in Kabul and says it was a huge blast.
Very busy part of the city, and that's a very main thoroughfare. The blast shattered windows in the immediate vicinity of the explosion. I live about a mile and a half away, and it blew my windows open and shook the house. At first it felt like an earthquake, and then the aftershock of the blast.
The German government has called off a scheduled deportation flight to Afghanistan as a result. Deportations to the war-torn country, which began late last year, have been a source of controversy. Ira Spitzer reports from Berlin.
A charter plane with rejected Afghan asylum seekers was supposed to leave Germany for Kabul on Wednesday, but the government said they've called that flight off. Germany has deported over 100 Afghans since November, and another 12,000 are currently under orders to leave. Some have argued that no part of Afghanistan is safe and that the deportations are a human rights violation. However, there are no indications that the policy will change as a result of the Kabul blast, even though Afghanistan's capital was one of the areas deemed safe by the German government. Ira Spitzer, Berlin.
Reports from the US suggest President Donald Trump may have decided to withdraw from the Paris Climate Change Agreement. The unconfirmed move would call into question the relevance of the global deal. UK police say they now believe the Manchester attacker bought most of the components of his bomb himself. However, officers are still trying to establish whether Salman Abedi was part of a wider network. Three men arrested in connection with the attack on Manchester Arena last week have been released. Anna Hodges reports from Manchester.
Two men aged 20 and 24 from the Fallowfield area of Manchester had been released, as well as the 37-year-old man from Blakely. 11 men are still being held in custody. Over 1,000 officers are working on the investigation to determine whether others were involved in the attack, which killed 22 people, or if the 22-year-old bomber Salman Abedi was working alone.
UK opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn's announced he will take part in a televised election debate later and called on Prime Minister Theresa May to do the same. It comes as the Labour Party tries to heap pressure on the governing Conservatives, with polls suggesting a tightening in the race ahead of next Thursday's vote. Thousands of people have been demonstrating in northern Morocco, demanding the release of a prominent activist. Protesters rallied after Nasser Zefzafi was arrested on Monday. He was charged with threatening national security, having organised months of demonstrations about unemployment and corruption. There's lots more from us up at our Facebook page. You can like us there at facebook.com/featurestorynews. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
It's always good to be liked on Facebook. Thank you, Ollie Barrett. Welcome to the programme, the last day in the month of May. 31st it is. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live around the world on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio. Got a good show for you, I think. Let's do it.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, George Webb is back on the programme, the investigative journalist. He spent the best part of the last year investigating things like the disappearance of Eric Braverman, the murder of Seth Rich, the Clinton Foundation, Pizzagate and more. George believes he's made a major breakthrough in the search for the truth of what happened to Seth Rich, George Webb, this hour. And we welcome back in hour two the very well-known UK horse trainer, Vicky Haig. We'll be chatting about the controversial family courts and reflecting on the recent news about Samantha Baldwin, who went on the run to avoid having her boys taken from her. Samantha's story is eerily similar to that of Vicky. There's very little we can say about Samantha Baldwin's story because it's subject, of course, to an investigation and cases, court cases, but we will skirt around it. Lots to tell you. Can't wait to chat with Vicky in the second hour. on your Richie Allen show on davidicke.com. Bookmark davidicke.com/headlines and do bookmark richieallen.co.uk. Lovely day today. Muggy, warm, humid. It's been a bit close. It's a great Irish saying. Great Irish saying. What's the weather like? It's very close. The weather is very close to you. It's all around you. Close means humid, muggy. It is muggy. Hope you've had a good day. Wednesday, whatever you're doing. You know, whenever there's a bank holiday, I tend towards some sort of brain injury. Forget what day it is. It is Wednesday and tomorrow is Thursday. Right. I had some lovely emails. I can't open my email right now. There's another issue with it. But I had some lovely emails today and I wanted to read a few of them out. I'm going to hold them over until tomorrow. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. The world is a bit sick, isn't it? It's a sick world, isn't it? There's a concert at Old Trafford Cricket Ground this coming Sunday for the victims of the Manchester Arena suicide bomb. A lot of people are going to turn up. Coldplay, Katy Perry, Take That, and Ariana Grande is going to fly in, and plenty more. I'm told that it will be on television as well. Does anybody give a damn about the people who died and their families? Does anybody care about giving them time to grieve less than a fortnight after the bomb? Let's have a concert. That's all we need, eh? All you need is a benefit. Do-do-do-do-do. Because pop stars will make it all okay in the end. Because pop stars and their concerts and their benefits have solved every major problem the world has ever known, right? I mean, those rainforests stopped disappearing after Sting got involved, right? That all stopped, right? There's no more famine now in Africa, right? Bono and Bob Geldof, the scruffy, unwashed bastard, saw to that. It rains all the time now and crops haven't failed because of Live Aid, right? Those amazing pop stars. Their concerts, Live Aid in 2005, that ended inequality as well, right? And it got all the debt dropped everywhere, right? Because vacuous, brain-dead pop stars are always there. Thank God for that. And by the way, if you were listening to Ollie Barrett in the news, they're leaving most of the people they arrested in Manchester, they're leaving them go home, as was predicted by me and a few others, because you didn't have to be Nostradamus. They're letting them all out now. Remember, on Tuesday last week, they used explosives to blow down front doors, running down streets in Fallowfield, scaring the living shit out of people. Get down! Get down! Get indoors! Police! Police! Get down! Get indoors! Dragging guys out of their beds, photographing guys, and then they tell us, we think the guy was acting alone. We think the guy might have actually bought the wires and the nuts and bolts by himself. We think he acted alone now. Now, the Manchester Metropolitan Police haven't gone all Irish, but that's what's going on. And where's the critical thinking? Where's the critical thinking? Anybody, somebody. Nicky Campbell, where's the critical thinking on this issue? Why did they carry on like that then? Is anybody in the media, now that these poor bastards, who probably had the shit and the life scared out of them, arrested and dragged into police stations around the city, probably screamed at, probably kept up for 24, 36 hours, probably being screamed at by idiots in uniform and detectives. Is anybody asking, why did you do that, guys? If you're leaving them all go now and now you're saying he acted alone 9 minutes past the hour. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody. Maybe the pop stars will have a benefit concert for the poor, misfortunate creatures who were dragged into police stations and kept there for a week for nothing. Give Bono a shout and Bruce Springsteen, they might do a concert for the poor Asian bastards. Mad world. Number of you saying to me that you really see a big shift in what's happening in the UK election cycle, and you think that there's a fix in, and that as the polls close, as Theresa May's lead closes, narrows, you're starting to tell me that you think it might be thrown to Corbyn. Now, again, I didn't have to be Nostradamus, but I said when this election was called, don't be surprised at it being much closer than you were led to believe, because obviously the forces behind the European Union who want to see that obviously endure and who do not want to see the UK leave it, there very well may be something going on, some sort of skullduggery, some sort of throwing it towards the Labour Party, and maybe even a rainbow coalition with the Labour Party, the Scottish Nationals and the Lib Dems forming a coalition government, all of them, of course, inherently anti-leaving the European Union. Yes, of course, I have no idea, to be honest. The news is full of this story today. Jeremy Corbyn is taking part in a debate in about 15 minutes' time on television. He'll be with the Lib Dems, UKIP, the Scottish Nationals, the Greens and Plaid Cymru. But there won't be any Theresa May. Amber Rudd will be there for the Tories. She's the Home Secretary. Jeremy Corbyn has been calling her out. This is the soap opera element to all of this. Theresa May did speak with the BBC to explain her absence a little bit earlier.
Laura.
Thank you, Prime Minister, but forgive me, on the same issue, public scrutiny is a very important part of any election campaign. He's now up for a head-to-head debate. Doesn't it suggest that you're frightened of taking him on directly if you don't go too?
No, as you know, Laura, first of all, I've been taking Jeremy Corbyn on directly, week in and week out in Prime Minister's questions. Secondly, actually, yes, public scrutiny is for an election campaign, but that's why taking questions from members of the public who are going to be voting on the 8th of June is so important. That's what I enjoy doing during the campaigns. And I think that's really important. That's why I've been doing that up and round the country. But I think the other interesting question is, I feel sorry for ITV. Why didn't he do their debate?
Yeah. Theresa May there a little earlier on explaining why she wouldn't be debating Jeremy Corbyn. None of this is really of any great interest, I don't think, to you or to I. The BBC are reporting that Donald Trump's administration will pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. This was signed in 2015, you'll remember. It allegedly united the world in a single agreement to mitigate the effects of man-made climate change. Let me just tell you, the activities of man are not changing the climate. Never have done, never will. Man is dirtying the planet, all right. It's filthy. We're destroying species, plants, animals, flora, fauna, and all of that. But we're not changing the climate. 195 countries out of 197 signed this in Paris, with Syria and Nicaragua abstaining. Syria had no choice but to abstain because the government is under siege from many of the countries who signed the accord. You get where I'm going with that. Trump said he would announce his decision within the next few days, but the cat is out of the bag. The Americans are not going to honour the deal. Trump has called it a hoax in the past. He said it was a hoax devised by the Chinese. Yeah, it's a hoax, but it wasn't devised by the Chinese. Trump is getting a lot of laughs on social media today because of a bizarre tweet he made late last night, with an unintelligible word or an illegible word that he tweeted at the end of a sentence. Looked like he fell asleep while he was tweeting. I have no idea. Again, it plays into the drama. They love it, they love it, they love it. You might have been hearing about Yemen today. You might have been hearing about Yemen. The United Nations has said that Yemen is facing total collapse as war continues there. Guests on this programme have been predicting this for over a year. The humanitarian chief is a guy called Stephen O'Brien. He said total social, economic and institutional collapse is about to do for the beleaguered country, Yemen. More than 2 years of war in the country has triggered this humanitarian crisis. 7 million people are on the brink of starving. Their cholera has resulted in many deaths, about 500 deaths, and many people are at risk there. And this is why I make the point all the time. I made the point on social media today that Rusty Rockets himself, the bearded wonder Russell Brand, and Owen Champagne Socialist Jones in the Northwest, and God, yes, the bearded tweed jacket wearing Jeremy Corbyn are nothing but prol pretenders. Proletariat, it's an abbreviation, look it up. They are pretenders. They are no more working class than Bill Gates. None of them. Can you imagine what would happen tonight if in the debate on BBC One, if Jeremy Corbyn was to ask any single audience member for his or her name? Each one of the party leaders and Amber Rudd is going to get a couple of minutes to set their case out tonight as to why they should be in government. Can you imagine if Jeremy Corbyn said to the moderator, I don't know who the moderator is, Fiona Bruce, David Dimbleby, no idea. Let's say it's Fiona Bruce. Thank you, Fiona. Excuse me, madam, you there in the front row. What's your name? My name is Kate Hughes, Mr. Corbyn. Kate, I'll tell you why you should vote for the Labour Party. As we speak, Kate, as we speak, millions of people are on the verge of starving in Yemen, and thousands are dying of diseases there. The woman who is currently sitting on the throne in number 10 Downing Street is responsible for the deaths of those people. She is a mass murderer, Kate. Do you understand that? Excuse me, Mr. Corbyn. And you can shut your hole, Fiona Bruce, until I finish my sentence. So, Kate, what's happening is officers of the UK military are currently in control rooms with Saudi Arabian drone operators, and we are overseeing the bombing into oblivion of Yemeni men, women and children. Have you ever seen somebody disintegrate, Kate? It's a great video on LiveLeak, I'll show you that. And our warmongering, mass-murdering Prime Minister isn't fit for office, isn't fit for purpose, and that is why you should vote Labour in a week's time, a week tomorrow. Exempting one or two words there, that might be an election winner for Jeremy Corbyn. But of course, Jeremy Corbyn won't say that or anything like it. Because Jeremy Corbyn, dear listener, is a classic pro-pretender. He's never worked a day in his life, as the great Gilad Atzmon said last night. He's always been middle upper class. He's worth the best part of £3 or 4 million. He is a classic champagne socialist, and when it all boils down to it, he couldn't give a damn about you, me, or anybody else. That is why he was allowed to ascend to the position of Labour leader even. That is why he was allowed to prolong the faux left-right paradigm so that you would fall for it. And that you would believe that there is a genuine, real choice for you a week tomorrow when there isn't. 18 and a half minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and TuneIn Radio. I'll be right back with you in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
At exactly 20 minutes past the hour, hi to Jen Crosby, to Faisal, to Luga, to Lisa, to Jay, to Bass Ninja, to Ginger, to everybody tuned in tonight. Sorry if I offended any of you who are deeply committed to voting for Jeremy Corbyn. I utterly respect your right to your opinion. Please respect mine. It has never changed. That is my opinion. For better or for worse, it has never changed. Okay? We're going to take some music. When we come back, George Webb joins the programme. It's Wednesday. It's May 31st. We're into June tomorrow. And I'm live from Manchester with your Richie Allen show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk. Welcome to the programme. It's your programme. I've not played this for a long time. This is Shout Out Louds from Sweden, a song called Walking in Your Footsteps. George Webb, investigative journalist, joins me in a minute. Seth Rich, Eric Braverman and more.
It's where I'm coming. It's where you're going, in a dark tunnel, blindfolded. It's where you leave your home, and I follow your steps into the future, like I know what's coming.
Right, welcome back to the programme. It's Richie Allen with you, of course, on Wednesday, May 31st. Sorry about the dramatic ending of the music there. Don't know what happened there. I'll have to look into that later on. That goes in the logbook. Right, our next guest should be no stranger to you, our first guest even. I think he's a pretty exemplary investigative journalist, and he's done some extraordinary work on the disappearance of Eric Braverman, the former Clinton Foundation CEO, the shadowy past of the Clinton Foundation, money going missing, funds not reaching places where funds were meant to reach, child trafficking, Pizzagate and much more, including the murder of Democratic staffer Seth Rich, who was shot to death last year. It's believed he leaked files to WikiLeaks and that may have gotten him murdered. I'm delighted to welcome back to the programme our friend, and again, I want to say, and I don't say it lightly, terrific journalist, George Webb. George, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Richie. How are you?
Really well, George, really well. And I'm intrigued by what's been going on with you in recent days. Thanks for coming back on the programme. Naturally enough, as usual, on YouTube, excuse me, on Twitter and on Facebook, we'll put links out to George's videos. If you haven't seen him before, we'll show you where you can follow him on Twitter. George, it was February when you were last on the programme. You're on day 219 or 220 of this investigation that you were on. I think it might have been around about day 90 or thereabouts when we spoke. Your record is there for everybody to see on Twitter. It's taking you down some weird and wonderful and scary paths, I think. Let us know, let those listeners know who don't know what's been going on, there won't be many of them, what motivated you to follow and begin looking into these issues to begin with?
Well, I actually thought I had a lot in my life that was similar to Eric Braverman in terms of being kind of on the persona non grata list from a guy named Andrew McCabe, who runs our FBI now here in the United States. And when you get on the kind of bad guy list or the target list, it's no fun. And I saw a lot of stuff happening that I had gone through myself, and I looked at things that Braverman was going through, and so I kind of identified with Braverman. And I don't know if you remember, but John Podesta is trying to find the leak. You know, Hillary has an article come out in the New York Times that she has a private email on, I think, on the 4th of March in the New York Times, and the 6th of March out comes the article about she has a private server. And then on the 8th of March, she hires our current FBI director with a $675,000 gift to his wife's campaign, who wasn't running 2 days before. And so a lot happens with bringing in the muscle and the intelligence muscle on Braverman. And they find out within a day that Eric Braverman's the leak. And I think what happened is McCabe ran a deep dive of everybody's conversations in the Clinton Foundation and found out it was Eric Braverman. And there's this there's two very chilling emails in the Podesta emails, which say, you know, Neera Tanden, which is kind of the underling of Podesta, says, "Who's the leak? Who's the leak?" And then John Podesta comes back, "Eric Braverman." And then the other email that he writes is, "We have to make an example of somebody." And, you know, if you know John Podesta and working with the SEIU and, you know, wet work that he talks about in his emails, that's not a good list to be on.
Yeah, you're not talking about, let's make an example of somebody, let's fire him and let's embarrass him. We're talking about something more sinister. And what about the whereabouts of Braverman, George?
Well, I reenacted Braverman's run this morning in Manhattan, and we actually went up to 91st Street, not too far from the 92nd Street Y, if people know where that is, on not far off Park Avenue, between Park Avenue and Fifth Avenue, actually between Madison Avenue and Fifth Avenue. And we went to the embassy, and I pretended I was Eric Braverman. So I said, I'd like to get it. For those who don't know the story of why he would run to the embassy, I better set that up. There's three WikiLeaks founders, including two guys over on your side of the pond, Gavin McFadden and John Jones, who are founders of WikiLeaks. And then the other founder or key guy is Mike Ratner. They all die within about 3 or 4 months of each other. Now, they all seem to have very fast cancers. But John Jones gets pushed in front of a train, and I can't remember what town it was, maybe Litchfield, but somebody will correct me. But, you know, Braverman, if you're – and there's two WikiLeaks guys that die as well, Seth Rich, obviously, and then there's also Sean and all of a sudden I'm not remembering Sean's name. Sean Lucas, yeah. So, and I said from the beginning of my series that it's going to be Braverman was the other – Seth Rich. So Braverman and Seth Rich are the two people that give WikiLeaks information. And it sort of has to be that way because one WikiLeaks comes out with the DNC leaks come out at the end of May 25th. That's going to be the Seth Rich. But then there's another one that come with the Podesta leaks around October. That's going to be Eric Braverman. And I believe the actual handoff happened here in New York on September the 15th, the night of the bombing. If people remember the Chelsea bombing.
I could put more
behind that. But if you're the other guy that didn't get killed, you have a whole different state of mind after Seth Rich is killed than you do if you are somebody else that doesn't have that association.
That's why we got together. That's why we got you on the program. The first time you came on was the Braverman story and the circumstances around his disappearance, you know, his intimate knowledge of the Clinton Foundation and all of that. There are so many strands to this, George. I'm not in the habit of kissing people's arses. I'm not. But this is great work that you've done. And I know, unlike many in the so-called independent media, you're not doing this to become part of the story or to be famous. You're doing this because it's vital that we know. Now, I know that you were hugely interested in Monica Peterson, for example. I mean, you know what, George, when I look at all of this, there is a film in this to be told one day on the style of Goodfellas or Casino. This is incredible. Monica Peterson was killed, another woman who died. She knew about the Clinton Foundation and Haiti and what was going on there. We talked about this before. There's so many strands to this. You're doing a great job, by the way, in your work at not losing your viewers. You know, in a minefield of information, you're not. I mean, there's so much to this. Do you want to talk a little bit about Monica Peterson and where that went and where her story led you to and information beyond that?
Sure. Well, there's just, you know, there's a lot of people that write about the Clinton body count and people argue, is it 100, is it 150, is it 125? But they're not saying that it's three or four, you know, so we can have hot debates about what the total number of the body count, but they just keep piling up. And my fundamental thesis in the series is if you just keep the people who are having these meetings that end people's lives, if you just let that keep going, it doesn't get any better. It just gets worse. And you start throwing in the fact that, the Clintons, and I think we talked about this, you know, Hillary first starts really doing organ harvesting in Kosovo in like 1999, and these seven doctors in this yellow house. But then once you realize how valuable these organs are, then you start doing it in other places like Haiti. And then if you start saying, okay, well, anybody who looks like my enemy makes a natural organ donor, everybody who doesn't agree with your politics starts looking like an organ donor. So you end up bringing it to Chicago at Holman Square, and there's going to be, I'm working on other cities right now, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, where you develop these rat lines, and it's this gradual creep of stuff from the most hideous wars and the most hideous practices, where in Kosovo it was Serbian prisoners, in Haiti was Haitian prisoners, and it's getting closer to our shores. Now it's prisoners in Chicago. Now it's people walking around that are political opponents, maybe, and journalists. So it really isn't. And the fact that Hillary didn't win doesn't change anything, because you still have these kind of spies in Congress, these Awan brothers, that still have access to some of our top secrets. So
now let me just stop you there. This is really important. I mean, the trafficking story and how they profited from the trafficking of organs out of war zones that they, you know, their administration, their Clinton's administration, later administrations that he was connected to, of course, played a big part in provoking. This is extraordinary stuff. And again, I'm going to put links out. And in fact, I'm going to get Aaron, our webmaster, to put these links on our website to these videos that you've done. You mentioned these Pakistani brothers and their influence.
Yeah.
Tell us about these guys. Who are these guys? How are they connected to Hillary Clinton? What's their part in all of this?
Well, I have new information today that I'm going to break on the Richie Allen Show, that I believe Imran Awan first comes to the United States to work for, this is a congressional source, so it's unconfirmed, but for a company called Inter-American, which does the constituent management database. So if you're a congressperson, which I did last week. I went through all through Congress, and you go in and you say, hey, I'm concerned about global warming or whatever your issue is. They start typing on their keyboard and they put your issue into a database. Okay, so that's been around since 1999 through this program called Inter-American. And I believe we're going to show employment records for the Awans coming in that soon. So that's fine. I don't have any problem with Pakistanis doing that. But then they then go on to become congressional staffers, and then they somehow miss that those first couple of years where you make 50, 60, or most of the congressional staffers I talked to, and we must have talked to 40 or 50 last week, are making in 30 to 40 range. And when they heard that the Awan brothers were making $160,000 a year, they, you know, their eyes came out of their sockets. There's a lot of them that are interns and aren't making any money. Well, it doesn't just stop there, because it looks like from Hillary Clinton's emails that they're also doing secure phones for Congress. They're also configuring laptops for Congress. Now, by themselves, not such a dangerous combination, but when you combine the laptop with a BlackBerry, it can be pre-configured in such a way that you can give a member of Congress the laptop, which they call a thin client. They don't even know it's pre-configured. So now I get all of the congressman's traffic back and forth, desktop synced, exactly in the same way as Huma's came to Anthony Weiner's laptop. Now, you remember Anthony Weiner is also in the Congress in 1999 to 2011, and I'm trying to track directly the H-1B visa program, and I think it's going to be through a company called Development Agency, Inc., and I went there last week in Chevy Chase, Maryland. I believe it's going to be Anthony Weiner and Development Agency, Inc. that brings the Awans initially into the United States in 1999.
This is huge, because these BlackBerry phones that Hillary and her clique used within the party, in fact, she insisted on having them. They were not recommended by or approved by the National Security Agency, yet she wanted them anyway, right?
That's correct. General Dynamics made a $5,000 bulletproof phone that was unhackable, basically. And she said, no, I don't want to use that. I want to use this phones from, and she calls it in the emails, Anthony's trusted staff. Now, Anthony Weiner hasn't come forward and said who his trusted staff is. And most people think Anthony Weiner, the sexting, the texting and everything. But beneath all that is a very shrewd operator who has a very good handle on technology, believe it or not. He's been made to be a klutz by an ad firm here named MWW, Monster Worldwide, but where he worked briefly. And I think he synced his phone, his BlackBerry, to their servers as well. But he's not the klutz everyone thinks he is. And you have emails. You can just, you know, Google WikiLeaks, Anthony's trusted staff. And I know that conjures a bad image, but he's sending BlackBerries from Washington, D.C. out to members and different folks on Wall Street.
George Webb is on the line, folks. He's doing groundbreaking work. He's uncovered, and I know he has help, and George is modest, but his work has uncovered a conspiracy that people who've read David Icke and others over the years won't be surprised. Such a conspiracy exists, but the vast majority of Americans and British men and women would be absolutely horrified to understand what George and his work has begun to uncover. A scandal involving the most powerful families in the United States of America, involving organ trafficking, child trafficking, paedophilia, the murder of anybody around them that comes by this information or that threatens the exposure of this information. A network of people working around them. That's why I made the analogy with The Godfather, Casino, Goodfellas earlier on. I'm going to make I read a book some years ago by Robert Harris called The Ghostwriter. You might have read it, George. It's an amazing book. It's about a retired United Kingdom Prime Minister, and he's retired but he's controversial, and a ghostwriter is writing his memoirs, and the ghostwriter discovers, played by Ewan McGregor in a subsequent film, the ghostwriter discovers that the British Prime Minister was actually run by the CIA even from the time he was in college at university. What you're uncovering, mate, I believe would make the likes of Carl Bernstein, Cronkite, Woodward, people like that, proud. But no network in the world will ever touch this, because what you're uncovering is, you're uncovering, I think ultimately where this leads is that the Clintons and those who work for them, they are controlled and they are owned and run by a hidden force, a hidden hand. And that's where this work is leading you. It's fair to say that, right? No doubt about
it. Yes, and what I try to concentrate on is the data and the metadata.
And the facts.
Official documents, and really getting down to, I remember when Frank DeCamp was breaking the Franklin scandal, and I was working with, I won't say who, with Washington Times, but he would say, show me the receipts, because that was whether you had a story or not, show me the receipts. And in this scandal with the Iwan brothers, and if you go into Congress, they've got two BlackBerry, they got an AT&T store and a Verizon store, but I was there last week, the most prominently featured phones, the first three phones you can get are BlackBerries. So this isn't something that and who uses a BlackBerry still? The Senate didn't drop BlackBerries until 6 months ago, and they're still using BlackBerries in the House. And you could go down to one of those stores, pick those up, and unwittingly have all your emails. So we have no idea. The Inter-American company that Imran Awan worked for had 150 members that it worked for and provided services for. We don't have any idea how many hundreds of members of Congress over the last 16 or 18 years have been hacked this way. This is the same exact way Hillary Clinton used to go out on the seventh floor of the State Department to sync to her, to Huma Abedin's laptop, Huma Abedin. Okay, I know. I'll go on speakerphone in a second, but I just want a good quality for the Richie Allen show. I'm periscoping at the same time, Richie. Sorry.
No worries, George. Carry on. No worries. Go ahead.
Yeah, but this, it's going to all come back to this voter database. And I met with Dr. Jerome Corsi of InfoWars over this weekend. We did a big shoot yesterday. I did it with a Hollywood producer named Jason Goodman, our director, and it's going to be this constituency software. This is what Seth Rich was killed for. This is the system that he worked on. So the system is this NGP for it's actually Nathan Perlman that wrote the software. Nathan G. Perlman is the old system, and then they merged with another company named VAN, V-A-N. But this is the system that Seth Rich worked on. And the way the system worked, and this constituent system that the Iwans worked, fed right into that. It was, I believe, the same system that the Iwans are working on. So I've connected the Iwans now in Congress, these folks that have stolen 20 laptops. When this was exposed, they stole the laptops and they stole the BlackBerries, and I identified where they were keeping them, in a Virginia home, in one of the 12 homes that Imran Awan owned. So this isn't something about, you know, a conspiracy theory. We're talking about, I talked to a Marine who was living in the home, and he said they had government markings on them. Imran said that they were not his, and he called the FBI. The FBI came over and confiscated the BlackBerries and the laptops. So this isn't speculation. I went to that house, knocked on that door, talked to that Marine. So if you watch Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she has a clip where she's threatening the Capitol Police. The Capitol Police have a chunk in the middle of D.C. that their jurisdiction. So they were the ones who went over to the Longwood office building and confiscated these. I think they went to a couple of other ones as well. But she's threatening, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is threatening him three times to cut his budget. And then when he finally finishes his answer and says he's not going to immediately turn over the BlackBerries and the laptops, she threatens him with consequences, you know. So this is available. Anybody can go on the web and see.
You're absolutely right. It's there. We've got video of this. This woman, of course, is a former DNC chairwoman. Again, another Clinton cabal woman. Do you think, George, that the thousands and thousands of hours of coverage given to Jared Kushner, the millions of sheets of newspaper given over to this garbage about Russia fixing the election, that this is to distract the American people from this knowledge, from this information. It must be.
It has to be, and because it's almost exactly, you just take the name Kushner out and put a Wan Brothers in, and you basically have the truth.
It's a bigger story.
It's a bigger story. What the constituent database from Inter-American became part of NGP Van. Now, NGP Van is donors and it's volunteers. Okay, it's mega donors and super volunteers. Okay, so it's really the goal of getting elected. Okay, and you don't. What the Republicans do is you have your own system and the other guy has his own system. The Democrats don't work like that. They say you rent the NGP Van software. So you use it to find out who voted union before, and then you go knock on their house with these volunteers. When you're done and you lose, all that goes back to the monopoly, NGP Van, which I'm going to just say Perlman from now on. And if you cross them in any way, you get thrown out and you get cut off from that data. If you're cut off from the donor data as a Democrat and you're cut off from the volunteer data, you're almost no way you can win. So this is why Seth Rich is so mad, because he does all this voter expansion to get data into the NGP Van. And then they're accused once in December of looking at Hillary data when it was actually the other way around. And then the big blow up happens when the chair thrown hurt around the world that gets thrown in Las Vegas, that Anthony Weiner's PR firm makes such a big deal about. And that, I think that's the last straw on the 25th or 26th of May. And that's when Seth Rich gives his thumb drive to WikiLeaks.
He gives his thumb drive to WikiLeaks, which has terrible consequences for him. What happened to him, George? I understand that you've named somebody now. Some of those who have followed you for the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months will be absolutely shocked that you've named somebody. They will say, you know, that's an incredible thing. How could George be absolutely sure, with it, beyond any doubt whatsoever, that he knows who killed Rich and what organization that person was working for? How did you get to that conclusion, George?
Well, I wasn't the one who said Jolla, J-O-L-L-A-H, was the one who killed Seth Rich. That was a 4chan had that, Anon had that for a long time. I was the one who connected the car ring. He had a car theft ring here in New York and a car theft ring in New Jersey. And the Wands were car dealers, had all these string of car dealerships in Richmond and Falls Church, Virginia. I think there's going to be a couple of others that we haven't identified yet, but Easy Car Buying was, his wife had one called Easy Car Buying in Annandale. I think there's going to be 4 or 5. But anyway, the idea was you drive there was 23 or 24 guys in the ring. You'd steal the car here, and these are high-end luxury cars. So you have BMW or Mercedes or Lexus. So those are fairly sophisticated alarm systems. And they would drive them down to these car lots in Washington. They would sell them for whatever, basically $5,000 to pay the person for stealing it. And then the person buying it would then give a donation to the Falls Church mosque. So they were laundering the money through the mosque, and they were doing the same thing in Richmond. I think there's going to be a couple more that I'm going to identify, one in Chantilly and one in Woodbridge, maybe another one in Annandale. But that's how they laundered the money. They also use that money to provide safe houses for different operatives coming into the country. I also identified how the visas were given to these known ISI folks. I named an ISI, Pakistani ISI operative today that was given a visa through the New York Film Academy. And you would think, oh, New York Film Academy, that's in New York. But there's actually New York Film Academy and all over the world, but especially Dubai and in UAE. And I believe that was through those connections. I named a person this morning, a very violent person, and I had the actual person who was beaten up by this ISI operative. She can't come into the United States from Canada, but he not only got a visa, but he has a U.S. passport now. This is after being on the worldwide, this is the Interpol watch list. And I've confirmed that through the British Embassy in Kuala Lumpur. So I think pretty much I painted in all the numbers here.
Yeah, yeah.
On the ISI, I've also done work in with the rat lines and the drugs and so forth in Pakistan as well. So I can talk about that as well if you want.
Well, we have, George. We've got about just under 10 minutes left. You can talk about whatever you want. What we have here is undoubtedly there is enough for any special prosecutor to convene a grand jury and to ask a grand jury to indict Hillary Clinton on a number of charges. Murder, conspiracy to commit murder, fraud, money laundering, coercion, kidnapping, paedophilia, organ trafficking, I mentioned already perversion of justice, conspiracy to commit election fraud. All of this information, what you've done is carefully put together this story and spread it out there with all the supporting cast, you know, all the people involved in it. Have you directed to, have you shared what you have with agents of the FBI or other law enforcement agencies? Have you done that?
Yes, I've called the FBI many times, and I've done 712 videos for Andrew McCabe as well. And I call out Andrew McCabe in every video to publish not all the contents of Hillary and Huma's 650,000 emails, but just the metadata. Because the metadata, for instance, David Petraeus is speaking here tonight in New York at the 92nd Street Y. He's going to be talking about, a new global world of oil exploration or whatever he's going to be talking about. I doubt he's going to be talking about the 1,000 emails between him and Hillary Clinton's private email and the 1,000 emails that answer to the search term Benghazi. So this is what people need to realize, is that you have people outside of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, outside of the chain of command and the different commands of the U.S. Armed Forces, deciding what countries get toppled, deciding that Libya gets toppled, deciding that Syria is going to be toppled, et cetera. So that's the questions I would have for David Petraeus tonight. And it's going to be the same question over and over again. If the metadata is published, you're going to see all the connections of the spider web, of the octopus, if you will. And that's what I'm pushing for. That's what I pushed for since day one.
Why don't WikiLeaks like then? Sorry, George. Sorry to interrupt you. Why don't WikiLeaks take everything you've done and publish that, give it a massive push, a huge push, and say, there you go. Why won't WikiLeaks do that?
Well, I talked to Tim Day here, and I believe he lives in Lafayette, Indiana, and he's kind of the WikiLeaks person that controls the Twitter account. And I think we got off at cross purposes, because I think everyone maybe who's familiar with me knows I've also been a part of the WikiLeaks network, the thumb drive network. This is more like the sneaker net.
Yeah.
And this is the backup network if the Dropbox, the electronic Dropbox.
Which you kind of kept secret, let's be honest. But that's no big deal, but you did keep that secret.
I came clean on it.
I wasn't going to bring it up, George, but I'm a bastard, so I had to say it. But
no, that's fine. I don't have any problem.
Fair enough. Yeah,
I didn't commit espionage.
No, you didn't.
I was just,
no.
You know, yeah, but anyway, I was involved in the network here in New York, and I did some drops for WikiLeaks. And before that, for Der Spiegel, I'm not saying I didn't. But what my point is, you know, Kim.com came forward, and I think we had Kim.com on a Periscope last night. And I just said to Kim, you know, he published in the Seth Rich case, he published the FBI document of getting the phone of Seth Rich, and he published the FBI document of getting the laptop, heavily redacted. But everyone asked the same question. If this is just a simple robbery of Seth Rich, why did the FBI break into the house and go get the laptop? And we've talked to the lead investigator for the family, Rod Wheeler. And he's also mentioned to us in private conversation, but I'll go ahead and spill it on the Richie Allen Show, that there's an FBI bullet involved. Now, the cover story for the FBI bullet, now this bullet may have special markings on it or special qualities that would be only
identified
to the FBI.
Right, okay, yeah.
The FBI. So anyway, that I'll leave that for the next show.
Listen, and of course, one of the things I was going to suggest that we do is that we don't wait too long, and in a week or 10 days, if you can commit to the time, let's do let's do an hour and 45 minutes. We'll promote it. We'll give it massive coverage on davidicke.com. And you will lay this out from the very beginning like you're telling a story. Let's do that, if you're up for that, because this is massive. Can I just say this, George?
You supported me early. You supported me early, Richie, so I owe you big time, and I'll clear the decks for you.
Well, listen, mate, we did, because that's the reason David Icke came to me 3 years ago and said, if you do this radio program, I'll stream it. The idea was to get away from personality presenters, bullshitters who know everything, but they know nothing, and make a platform for people who are actually doing research to get it out there. You were perfect for the program. This is massive stuff. Can I just say one thing, and I'm going to give you the final word on it?
Sure.
And you might not like me for saying this. It's not in any way a criticism of you, but it's where I think this ultimately goes. This is where I think this goes. You see, behind, for me now, this is just my opinion, behind Hillary Clinton are the royal families of Europe and the banking families. And behind them is something sinister that maybe even doesn't have a name. And that's where all this paedophilia and satanic stuff and murder, mass murder of children in satanic rituals ultimately goes. Because whether people want to believe in a dark entity or not, and it might or might not exist, these people believe in it. And this aspect of their business is paying homage or worshipping that. Now, that might piss you off, George, because you're a journalist and you're dealing in hard facts and what you can prove. But I can't not say that that's my opinion. That's our opinion. Where that side of it goes is to a place that most people don't even want to think about. I really do believe that. Don't know what you think.
Well, the research I've done is that I call them the Rothies versus the Rockies. I mean, the Rockefeller kind of cabal and the Rothschild. And there was an international oil tussle between your continent and mine, between the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. We're actually going to be going on June 1st to Chantilly, Virginia, to hope to meet up with Luke for Change, or We Are Change.
Yeah.
He's going to be covering the Bilderberg meetings. And that's really where the Rockies and the Rothies kind of sit down and kind of try to come
lay
to
out
terms.
The agenda. Lay out the agenda for the next 12 months. Yeah.
So that's a teaser for 10 days from now.
Listen, mate, it's fantastic work, George. As usual, I'll direct our listeners to the videos and to follow you on Twitter. It's one of the biggest stories in the world. And you might just be on to that one story that brings maybe millions of people to an awareness that things are not the way they seem, George. And if you do that, mate, it'll be an amazing achievement. Thanks for coming on the program again. Godspeed to you. And listen, look after yourself. Look after yourself.
Thank you. Always an honor, Richie.
Cheers, George. Bye for now. George Webb on the line to us there. The look after himself is deadly, deadly serious. Because anybody who's tried to expose this from within the Democratic National Committee, from within the party, has been murdered or has disappeared in the case of Eric Braverman. 3 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to take a very quick break. This is the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, and my own website back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now. Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Just an absolutely massive story. And whenever I do stories like that, I'm always mindful of the fact that it's so, so, so difficult for so many people to fathom, to contemplate, to understand that those levels of sickening evil exist at that level. They can't comprehend, they can't contemplate, they don't want to believe that somebody who ran for president, the wife of a former president, and of course he's up to his neck in it, could be involved in those levels of corruption, of the vilest, the most sickening of criminal behaviour. And not only that, but there's a cabal and a network of people just like them involved as well. It wasn't easy for me to begin to contemplate that sort of thing. It certainly was not. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine today whom has experienced some difficulty with it. She's been listening to programmes like this for a year and a half and others, and reading books on these issues. And she's a very bright woman, and it's begun to get her down a bit. I think you go through that phase when you realise, when you deny what's staring you in the face, when you have irrefutable evidence of such criminality, of such mendacity, of such evil, and there comes that time when you can't deny it anymore and you have to come to terms with the reality of the world you live in. And you have a period, you have a wobble. I certainly had a wobble. Can't remember how that materialised. I didn't turn to the bottle, I've never really done that. But I think there was a dark period, and it is. But out of that comes great relief, I think, because for many, many years, most of us have lived with a very uncomfortable feeling, a foreboding, kind of like the roof is going to cave in type feeling. You've known something is very, very wrong with reality. So there's a relief as well that comes later. It's a minute past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on May 31st, 2017. It's Wednesday's programme. My name is Richie Allen. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. We're also live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester and TuneIn Radio as well. The TuneIn is a good app. And let me give a big shout out to an app. I should shout it out more often. This programme is available on the Truth Seeker app. When this programme ends and I put the podcast online on podomatic.com, it automatically uploads to Truth Seeker app. And you can download the Truth Seeker app through the App Store. It's on the App Store. And on the App Store, you can get the Truth Seeker app, and a load of other podcasts are on there. InfoWars, James Corbett. There's a lot of really, really interesting stuff on there, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. Download the Truth Seeker app from the App Store. Yeah. Alrighty. Alright. This is The Pale from Dublin, Ireland. This is a song called Mother Nature is a Man.
We are some dem off lately, chasing cats within the aviary. We will keep them very softly, soaking salt within the wounds. Express it very vaguely, word it very safely. Protest is not healthy, it could be dealt with very gravely. Glass house, stones within our hands.
to moan. A gentle wound can nurse its wound. Father Figo was a fool, but I can always start again. There is no second chance for me.
Yeah, if this world is a simulation, could it have been designed by a woman? I have no idea. That's The Pale, Mother Nature is a Man, on the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's 5 minutes past the hour, Wednesday's second hour. Thanks for joining the programme. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. That's how you tweet me. It's at Richie Allen Show. Email richie at richieallen.co.uk. I'm having difficulties with email. I'm having a long running battle with the host of the website. It's not good. So I'm having difficulty. So it's probably best to tweet at Richie Allen Show. Do that. Now, my next guest has been on the programme a couple of times before. She's a very well-known horse trainer here in the UK. She's living and working in France now. She came to our attention a few years ago when she lost custody of her daughter. She made allegations. Did Vicky, you know it's Vicky Hague, of course. Vicky made allegations that her partner at that time, her daughter's dad, had sexually abused the child. Now, the child told the police she had, in fact, indeed been abused, but a court ruled that she had been coached to say that. Vicky was subsequently banned from seeing her. Later, she met her daughter by chance at a petrol station. She was found in breach of an order and she was eventually jailed for that. That isn't even the tip of the iceberg of Vicky's own story. Later on, she was threatened that a child she was about to have with her partner, her next partner, her current partner, would be taken away. So she fled to Ireland and then she fled to France. We've spoken to her before about this. She put us on to people like Ian Josephs. Massive, massive story. Courageous woman. And delighted that she's back on the programme today. Vicky, welcome back. How are you?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Richie. Yeah, fine. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Busy old day on the gallops today, picking up the kids from school. Glorious weather there in France. Looks idyllic. But we're going to talk about serious issues as well. You've been in touch with Samantha Baldwin. I just want to mention, in case our listeners haven't come across the story, Samantha was in the news several weeks ago. All the newspapers and news channels covered her story. She fled with her young boys from their home in Nottingham. She believed, with good reason, it transpires, that her children were going to be taken away from her. There was a massive manhunt, for want of a better word. A couple of nasty things happened. Samantha's mother and others were held in a cell for more than a day. And, you know, questioned and threatened, all very, very nasty. A number of people have spoken to the Daily Mail to say they know Samantha very well. She's a wonderful woman, a wonderful mother, a decent human being, doesn't deserve all of this. Vicky's been in touch with her. I spoke briefly with her on Facebook today. Obviously, there's a case ongoing. There are things happening at the moment to Samantha, and any interview on a station or on a programme like this could be detrimental to her case. That's obvious anyway. Vicky, this case, we can't say too much about it. We can only say what's already been reported, but it's got eerie similarities to your own case, doesn't it?
Well, it's identical. I was advised by my daughter's social worker to run with my daughter, which I found bizarre. Now, I said, well, I can't run. At the time, I had 22 racehorses in training. I was a public racehorse trainer. I couldn't just disappear off the face of the earth with my daughter. But for a social worker to advise me to do that, I thought it was absolutely bizarre. Now I know why. It's because in Samantha's case, I'm guessing, the alleged abuse from that was told to her by her boys was never investigated properly. Yet when Samantha went on the run, they had 100 police officers searching for her. Now, if they'd have used 100 police officers to investigate all the allegations from the boys, they would have probably had criminal trials coming up now of people that have been abusing these boys. But no, they always try and criminalise the whistleblower mother. And they do it time and time again. Rebecca Minnick, she went on the run a couple of years ago. Same story. You know, this is an epidemic. An epidemic.
Vicky, I want you to talk about these types of cases. Just before you do, again, just in case our listeners don't know and they're not up to speed. Vicky is well aware of the legalities. That's why I invited her on. She's a very smart woman. I'm not patronising her. She knows that both of us have to tread a fine line here. This is the story. Samantha has made a claim that a third party, we're not going to mention the third party, but that a third party has abused her boys. Now, Vicky made a very salient point there. If the authorities had investigated that abuse, they could have found out whether the claims had any merit or not. And if they didn't have any merit, people could have moved on. Something could have been worked out. If they did have merit, they could have had a trial. The sinister thing here, regardless of the rights and wrongs of the accusations and the claims, are Samantha's mother being locked up and left in a cell for 30 hours and being treated pretty badly, and hundreds of police officers chasing around the country and news networks getting involved as if Samantha was in some way a danger to her children. That's bizarre, Vicky. And as you were just getting on to, before I interrupted you rudely, and I'll shut up now, this has happened quite a lot, where there has been an allegation of mistreatment of a child, physical or sexual. In many cases, mum gets chased and threatened. Tell us more about that.
Well, what's happening is men, if they want custody of their children, they're getting custody in most cases through the secret family courts. It's not coming to light. It only comes to light when it's a sexual abuse case or an alleged sexual abuse case where a mother can't protect her child from the abuse. And that's why she runs. And the establishment love these cases because they hunt these women down. Some of them go abroad and they use Interpol, which is only supposed to be used for dangerous criminals. And they track these women down. You know, there's a woman in Liverpool that fled 3 years in Canada. They found her. You know, they gave her a prison sentence for abduction. And they turn the tables on the mother and they make the mother into a criminal when the mother is entirely 100% innocent of anything. The only thing she's doing is trying to protect her children. But you know, there's cases, and it's all because I'm now the European spokeswoman for the Women's Coalition. We know that it's an epidemic. These family courts are not protecting the rights of mothers. They're losing custody of their children. If a man wants custody of the child, he's getting it. And that's for several reasons. He doesn't want to pay child maintenance. He wants to still control the mother through the children. He wants to carry on sexually abusing the children, if that's what he's doing. And these women, they don't have a leg to stand on. And the system in the UK and in the States and any country where a woman can live independently of a man, which they can now as time's moved on, they are upholding the male entitlement of these children. And this is the core of the problem. This is the core. These sexual abuse cases are awful. They're horrific because what's happening is the mother and the children are silenced. What will happen now is, in Samantha's case, I'm guessing she probably hasn't seen her children since they were taken, which is 2 months now. So why, when she's looked after those children all their lives safely and happily, what must be going through those children's mind not to see their mother for 2 months? This is cruel. It's barbaric. You know, a normal person can't comprehend. My friends here in France say, oh, you know, can you imagine not seeing your child for 2 months? They're horrified. They're just horrified by this. And we're working with the United Nations now, and we're trying to implement a new system out of this family court system. That family court is so rotten.
The secret family court. I want to come to that, and I want to talk about the Women's Coalition. I want to talk about all of that. Let's create a scenario, right? My fiance Caroline, if we had a child, if we had a girl or a boy, and he or she is 5 or 6 years old, and Caroline was to believe with good, let's say she had good reason to believe that I was sexually abusing our child. What has happened in these cases, Vicky? Have these women gone to the police or have they told a social worker? Because I would presume that knowing the horrifying reality that her lover, her fiancé, is abusing a child, I presume Caroline would go to the police. And then I would presume that the police would take a statement from her, and I presume that I would be questioned. What's happening? What do we know that's happening, that this is going wrong, that there's not being proper investigations into the abuse, and it's ending up with these horror stories of women and children running for their lives? What's the procedure when somebody says, he's abusing our child?
Okay. Well, they either ring the Child Protection Services up, which is social services.
Right.
The social workers get the police involved because it's a crime. It's a criminal offence against a child. So then they decide whether the child can be interviewed. So sometimes these children are very young. They're 2 years old. And so the police, oh, no, that child's too young to be interviewed. And in my case, they saw my child first and they said, oh, yes, she's eloquent enough to be interviewed. So she was interviewed. And the police never prosecute. In my case, the CPS lawyers never even saw my daughter's evidence. I fought for years to get my daughter's evidence to the Crown Prosecution Service, and it was blocked by the police. The police block it. And I was in touch with Keir Starmer at one point, and they said, oh, we can't intervene. If the police don't give us it, we can't look into it. You know, we're talking about child sex abuse. Nobody in power steps in. Nobody. So then what happens? It gets shunted into a family court. The defense of the man says, oh, she's bitter, she's twisted, she's sick in the head, she's coached the child, she's got Munchausen's thing, you know. And then the judge, oh, yeah, well, we believe him because we're upholding male entitlement, and we don't believe her. So what we do, we're going to put an order in place. We'll give the man supervised contact just to, you know, get the children back with the father, because they always suspend contact with the father when they're investigating. But then they reinstate it supervised for a very short period of time. And then they give unsupervised access. And then the child, if it's sexual abuse case, the child's still being abused, the mother's still reporting it. And then they threaten the mother. They say, you know, if you it's, they call it alienating your child against the father, we're going to switch custody. So they're basically saying to a mother, listen, dear, why don't you just accept your child to be raped part time and then you can keep custody? You know, because if you don't keep letting your child go and just be raped every other weekend and half the holidays, you know, you're going to lose custody, and then your child's going to be raped all the time. And then you were going to lose contact with your child, dear. You know, just let's carry on with this male patriarchal system, will you, please? You know, this is what women are being pushed into.
And the worst of this is that those hearings you described are conducted in complete secrecy, which is an outrage in a democracy. So journalists who have touched this story, Sue Reid, of course, in the Mail, and Christopher Booker, who wrote extensively about you, Vicky, they can't get access to these hearings to expose the lunacy of these decisions. So people don't know, right?
They just can't. And I find it incredulous, absolutely incredulous, that I'm probably the only mother that can speak out. And that's only because Lord Justice Wall did a job on me with the mainstream media to try and finish me off once and for all. But actually, you know, it's a round world, and he committed suicide this year. And, you know, he gave me the voice. He tried to ridicule me so much in the press that I was this lunatic woman. But it goes listen, everything goes full circle. And he gave me my voice. Thank you, Lord Justice Wall, wherever you are, you know, down in hell, I would imagine. But, you know, all these mothers are gagged and they are drip fed supervised contact with their children for years to silence them. You know, Rebecca Minnick, she's seen her son supervised since she ran with him. You know, so they drip feed and they say, if you speak out or try and speak out or put anything on Twitter or Facebook, we'll just cut your contact.
We'll cut your contact. Can I just make a point as well? This is going to sound real tabloid stuff and I don't mean it to. But Wall committed suicide. We were told that he committed suicide pretty shortly after being diagnosed with dementia. Now, I've been around the block a few times. I've covered elite paedophilia for years. I don't buy that he committed suicide because he discovered he had dementia. Now, I'm not going to suggest, and I certainly don't have any information, that he was involved in anything. But he was pretty much the most senior family law judge in the country. I would say, Vicky, he had a lot on his mind. A lot on his mind, right? We might have momentarily lost Vicky there. We'll try and re-establish. Well, she's back. Sorry, Vicky, we lost you momentarily. I think you're back. Go ahead.
Hello?
We're here. We're hearing you loud and clear. You might not be hearing us. If you're not, we'll reconnect there.
I can hear you. What I was going to say is he was the president of the family court for less than 2 years before he was forced to resign because of ill health. Now, that was within probably a year of him sitting on my case. So I'm guessing the illness he had was developing when he was making all these crazy judgments, you know, on cases like mine. But these judges, they don't even look at evidence of sexual abuse with these children. They can decide what evidence they look at or don't look at. So you're having criminal acts against a child, terrible criminal acts against a child in a civil secret court with a male entitlement system. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that for a mother when you're trying to protect your children, you know?
Vicky, you believe, in fact, before we come to, you know, how these people get away with it, how they operate as they do, we're going to talk about gatekeepers and that. But before we do that, I want to make something clear. While we can't obviously discuss Samantha Baldwin's case or the allegations that Samantha made, we can't do that because it's not right to do that. We'll follow it, of course, with great interest. There is a point, I think, that it's fair to make, and I think it was made by the Daily Mail in the article, one of the articles they did about her. The judge in her case is somebody called Jeremy Lee. That's Jeremy L-E-A. Jeremy Lee, hearing these cases in family court, is also a chairman of the trustees of a private adoption agency. And that agency is called Faith in Families. And he served there for 3 years. For me, again, I've been covering politics, I've been covering crime and courts for years and years and years. That's simply untenable that this guy could have links to adoption agencies, to charities, and could be sitting in judgment on cases like this. Have you any comment on that, Vicky?
Well, it's a conflict. You know, it's a conflict of interest. It should never be allowed to happen. You know, but unfortunately, this is happening. You know, a few years ago, two social workers set up a foster agency business and sold it for over 100 million. You know, it's like money for old rope. They're taking the kids. They're using their own agencies. You know, I mean, it's terrible and it needs sorting. It really does, because it's going to implode.
Vicky, you believe that there's a screening process in play here, that those who work in positions where they control families and children, that they're carefully screened for their willingness to go along with this and ultimately the cover-up of it. Why do you think that? What evidence have you come across that makes you believe that?
Well, you know, people are surprised that these women judges are involved, and you know, but this is how they get higher in their positions, in their jobs. You know, that these women judges, I've had lots of women judges on my case. And another thing, for example, Theresa May, she appeared in my case at least two or three times. She was given my daughter's police interviews, and she promised the reporter that gave them to her that she was going to pass them to the children's minister. And, you know, I was really hopeful. I thought, this is a woman, when she was the Home Secretary. Here's a woman, she'll see this, she'll be horrified. The children's secretary, he'll be horrified. They'll step in, you know, and all my case, it'll all be sorted out. But what actually happened was Theresa May told the journalist, don't ever hand me anything like this again. I don't want to see anything like this ever again. And you'll be in contempt. You could go to prison. And, you know, she went from Home Secretary. She went to become the Prime Minister of the UK. So they rise up through the ranks, and these women know this, you know, so they protect the system just like the men do, and they rise up the ranks. I know the barrister in my case is a judge now. So this is how they're put in positions of power. And I don't know if you knew that Theresa May was the one that, I'm sure, well, it came from Parliament, because the guy, the governor at the prison, told me that when I did the big two-page spread in the Daily Mail, when I'd got to open prison, because you can use the phone freely, you're not listened into. So I did a huge two-page spread. Within 3 days, I was back in closed prison. And that the governor said to me, you've upset the apple cart very high. You know, it came from Parliament. So
it came from the Home Office, you think?
Women. Pardon?
You think that order to have you removed from, you know, the open population into a closed prison was down to the fact, you think it came from the Home Office? It makes sense, right?
Well, it came from high Parliament. This guy, he got a bollocking, the governor, for allowing me to do it. So, you know, I went back to closed conditions. And they put me on MAPA level 3. Now, MAPA, Theresa May had MAPA. She was involved in MAPA, Multi-Agency Public Protection Authority, or whatever it is. I was on the same level as serial killers and dangerous paedophiles. And the reason they put me on level 3 was because I was a threat, because I spoke to the media, you see. And they tried to silence me the whole way along, threaten me, scare me, arrest me, imprison me, retake my daughter, you know, try and take my other one. You know, I mean, the list is endless what they've done to me. And I'm, you know, they'd love me just to keel over and die, I'm sure, but here
you're not,
I am.
You're not going anywhere. I'm just going to do a quick recap. 28 minutes past the hour. Vicky Higgs, a very well-known horse trainer, very well-known in sporting circles here in the UK, now living in France. Vicky lost custody of her daughter a few years ago. Vicky made allegations because of what her daughter told her, that her dad had sexually abused the girl. The child confirmed this to the police, but a court ruled later on that Vicky had coached her. Vicky maintains she didn't. She was banned from seeing her. Later met the child by chance, was found in breach of an order, was jailed for that. She's just been talking about that there. And I've always said this, regardless of whether you believe Vicky or whether you take the side of Vicky's ex-partner, regardless, it's difficult to leave that to one side, but if you can leave it to one side, whether you believe one or the other, the handling of it was absolutely disgraceful and disgusting, and should not have resulted in a mother parted from her daughter and ending up in prison. It should not have ended up like that by anybody's measure. Do you believe, like Emma Ibbitson, who's made two fantastic films about this in the UK, Traffic and Traffic 2, are some of these children who end up, because of the devastation and the trauma they go through because they're separated from their mother, and they end up in foster care maybe at some stage, do you believe that children are being trafficked, Vicky?
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't
but it's
know.
Very easy to do it and get away with it. So there's no checks and balances. This, you know, you see the amount of kids that, yeah, the kids that are missing on the list in the police stations is different to the kids, the numbers of the kids that are missing on the social services records. The police have a huge high number. The social services is very low because the social services are covering up how many children are going missing, you know, but the police have them all. And the numbers, it's thousands different. The numbers are thousands different. So, you know, they can cover it up and they can do what the hell they like. In England, there is no child protection system.
There's none whatsoever. What you're describing there, what Vicky is describing there, is thousands of children go missing from care every year. Just go missing. Gone. They just disappear. Now, it doesn't mean they're dead, and it doesn't mean they're being raped in a dungeon somewhere. Nobody's saying that. But they're gone. They're off the books, basically. And there's no accounting for that, as Vicky said. Vicky, let's talk about, because there are questions coming in. I've opened the email and Twitter. Before we get to some of those, let's talk about the Women's Coalition, your part in it as the European chair of it, what you hope to achieve with it, and, you know, obviously how people can get in touch. Because obviously it's going to be a very important resource for families and for women who might go through this. Tell us about the Women's Coalition then.
Well, it was set up in the States by Cindy Dumas, who had her sons making disclosures by the father, and she went on the run with him for a couple of years, and then the son went on his own for 3 years, and when he got to 16, he married a prostitute, because once you're married, the state have no control over you and the father has no control over you. So he got married to escape, basically. And so she set up Safe Kids International, it was called originally, and then she changed it into the Women's Coalition. And I was put in touch with her by Marilee McLean, who's been on your show. She wrote the book about reforming the family courts, but the reforms are not going to work. You can't reform that system that's so rotten. You need an entirely new system. And we've been working with the UN, who have now accepted in their last year's report that there is a bias against women in family courts. There is a bias. And we're working with them to try and implement this new system, which will be a jury. Because one judge to decide, for example, my child, they can be got at, they can be corrupt, they can be corrupted, you know. But with a jury to decide on these contested custody cases, and I'm sure it would work as well with in the UK specifically, where they are taking children into care, because whenever the parents put their side of the story to the judge decides what he wants to take on board and what he doesn't. And normally the state are winning. The state are winning hands down with these cases. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get this new system implemented in all of these countries where this is happening, where there's this bias against women. So that's what we're doing. We've got a website, which is womenscoalitioninternational.org. And we'd love, you know, women that are listening to this show, and even men, because there are lots of good men out there, because we've been called sexist, you know, feminist and all this. We're not. We need good men to help us, because one of these days, these men are going to have daughters that could lose their children just like I did. So we've got to fight for this new system, to get this new system put in place. And this problem will almost, you know, become deleted, obsolete within...
Can I ask you a question on that? Because the current Prime Minister should have been fired, and she should have been arrested for perverting the course of justice when she was Home Secretary, because she appointed two different women to head up the Child Sex Abuse Inquiry. One was Fiona Wolfe, the other one was Elizabeth Butler-Sloss. And May knew that both of those women were intimately acquainted with people who had been accused of raping children. So by appointing those women, this is absolutely true. This isn't sensationalism. She should have been fired and investigated immediately, but she wasn't. Forget about child trafficking for a minute. Do you think with the allegations that have been made by hundreds and hundreds of people about abuse by politicians, by very important people, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a scale that's unimaginable. Do you think that is in any way related, Vicky, to the fact that forced adoption and child kidnapping by the state, you know, is secret and is unknown to the general public? Is there any tenuous or strong connection between the two stories, do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, there's obviously a link. There's definitely a link because it's so easy to take these children into care by the state. They're using a secret court. They're gagging parents, you know, and they're harassing these parents. And it's from every state arm harasses these parents. You know, I've known women have their driving license taken off them. You know, their payments stopped, their apartments taken off them. You know, if they're living in council housing, they lose their homes. You know, the state, and I've seen it myself, so which is why I don't live in the UK anymore. The harassment sends you doolally. It sends you doolally. They section you, you know, and then if you have any other children, they'll take them. And it's just non-stop, never-ending torture, persecution, you know, and anybody that tries to fight. I mean, I obviously didn't know at the time what I was up against. I thought I was battling my ex-husband. Little did I know, I was actually, the government was my enemy, you know. And yeah, if I'd have known then, what I know now is the expression, isn't it?
Jeez, I never know what to say, Vicky, when I'm speaking to somebody like you, because I don't have a clue what it is that you went through. And it's, you know, I can say any number of things that would just sound like just basic pat. I have no clue. But when I think about it, it makes me dreadfully upset when I think about it. And I've interviewed several people in the last few years, and we did a special show one night. You phoned into it. There were ladies phoning in from all over the country. I've had a load of comments on this, by the way. Shauna emailed me to say, gone through it, heartbroken, 9 years I haven't seen my son, says Shauna. Emotional risk, risk of emotional harm, she says. Ali says, thinking of leaving the country. I believe there's a link between vaccination and illness. Vicky might not agree with that. A lot of people might not agree with it, but I believe there is a link. I don't want to vaccinate. Want the child to get all the childhood illnesses. Doctors have warned me about passing that information on to higher authorities. I'm a single mum thinking about leaving the country. That's Ali. These are genuine comments, by the way. We don't make this sort of stuff up. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I say that because we get such a huge volume of tweets, and I mention all these tweets, and begrudgers are often saying, oh, you're making up your tweets, and people need only go to our Twitter feed and see the thousands of tweets that we get on a daily basis. And David Mortimer, who follows this, he's tweeted, the problem with UK child protection policy is that the policy isn't evidence-based. It isn't. And Vicky, that's a massive point, that a social worker goes to a family court judge and makes an allegation about you or anybody else. They don't have to prove it. A judge can say, well, I believe the social worker, and then you are in a world of trouble, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mothers like me, we're accused of alienating our children against the fathers. So what do? They take the children from the mothers. They give them to the fathers. And then the mother's alienated for years, like I am. But they don't care about that. That's fine. But that makes no sense at all. So, you know, it's like whatever they decide goes, really. You don't really have a chance. And your own legal team they're all in it, you know, they're paying their mortgages, they don't want to rock the boat, and you are like a lamb to the slaughter.
Listen to this, Vicky. Listen to this one. This is from Kira Deegan. Richie, Kira Deegan, use my name. I have no problem with it at all. I'll keep it brief. She says, my boyfriend has been in prison for drug abuse and he used to sell drugs. He's been out of prison for over 2 years. He's not the father of my 8-year-old boy. He's a good man. He's been clean for a long time. He is no problem whatsoever. Social services have told me that he cannot live with me and he can't be around the house because he's a danger to my son. If I continue to see him, they'll take my son, Kira Deegan says. And she underlines, he's clean, he's not violent, he's never been a problem. He's a good lad trying to make his way in the world. He's not the father of my boy, but I've been told they're going to take him. That's Kira Deegan. This is unbelievable totalitarianism. She and only she should have a right to decide who she sees and when she sees them and whether or not her fella is in any way a danger to her child, not the state, Vicky. Extraordinary, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. There's no freedom in the UK. You can't live in peace. You know, the state are interfering in your private family life, disregarding the law, disregarding everything because they have so much power and they're getting away with everything because they're, you know, everything's controlled. The media's controlled. A little mother like me is so easy to control. It's just threaten, bully, imprison. You know, to get a 3-year prison sentence for talking to my own daughter, I mean, nobody believes that, but that's what happened, you know. So that, you know, my story is just, if anybody says, oh, that can't happen, well, it can actually, you know.
Can happen to somebody like you, somebody with a great career, you know, attractive, intelligent woman with a great career that a lot of people would dream of, all going well. Why would you do something like that? Any intelligent people would ask, unless you were convinced of that what you were doing was the right thing. I'm not saying this now to make this emotional. I just have to ask, when was the last time you saw your daughter?
I actually saw her in March. Getting back to the alienation thing, I was sitting inside a cafe. I went over to England and she walked past and I said, hi, darling, it's me. I'm your mummy. And she was so frightened. Because what they do, the parental alienation, there's actually a word for it. They drum into these children that she lived happily with me for 6 years. But then when they're separated from their mother, they drum into their head, your mother's a this, your mother's that, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's abandoned you, you know, blah, blah, you know. And then they become frightened. And it's really terrible to see your own child frightened of you. Because, you know, she had her own pony. We went to Barbados, Cuba. She had lovely clothes, lovely friends. We were very close. She had cats, dogs. You know, she lived with me all those years. Obviously, I gave birth to her. And then to see that devastation, the debris of the system, infiltrating an innocent child's head, you know. So I have to, the reason why I do what I do, I campaign, I work, I bring Sapphire up, he's my 6-year-old here in France, and I keep very sane and very fit and very healthy. I eat all the right things because I know when my eldest daughter's older, she's going to need a lot of help, you know, mental help, because they've basically done her head in. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I'm just waiting for the day when I have to get her sorted out mentally. This alienation will probably ruin the rest of her life. The separation from her mother will ruin the rest of her life. Samantha, her boys, their life, it will never be the same ever again. 60 days without their mother. Where are they? We don't know.
These children, Vicky, these children are going to come of age. I think you and I spoke about this before, and it's my belief that when these children come of age, they are going to take the state for billions and billions of pounds. That's what's going to happen. Future generations are going to be paying for this through their taxation, through their contributions. We're going to see children like your daughter come of age, understand what was done to them and the complicity of the state in that, and they are going to take the country to the cleaners. Because it will eventually come out in the wash, this. Everything
does. The truth always comes out. You know, you can bury it as much as you like. I just feel a shame that, you know, people like Savile, they always wait until these paedophiles are dead before they let it escape into the media. But, you know, David Icke said about this years and years and years ago. But I just think the UK are absolutely fantastic at keeping these cover-ups covered up.
Because of where they lead. Yeah, because of where they lead. I'm just going to mention, because we're going to rapidly run out of time, but before we do, I'm going to mention Eleanor Oldman, who's living not too far from Wakefield, she says. She says, Richie, I can't believe that story you read out a second ago about the girl, she says, who has been told her boyfriend can't come around or she'll lose her son. I've had that very same thing several years ago. My boyfriend had been in prison for a violent crime, an armed robbery. He'd had a gang. He'd been involved in a gang when he was very young, says Eleanor. And I was told the exact same thing. If he was to be seen around, if a neighbour was to make a call, that social services would come and take my child. She says it's an absolute tyranny. And that's from Eleanor Oldman, not far from Wakefield, listening into this tonight. Women's Coalition International.org. Bookmark that website, Women's Coalition International.org. Vicky Hague is on the line. Vicky, I'm going to give you the final word, and then, because we're coming close to the end anyway, and we'll wrap up. Give us some hope, Vicky, will you? Because this is going on. As we speak on this programme tonight, a child has been taken from a mother somewhere, and in all likelihood, it's going to be in the wrong. It's not because the mother is in any way a danger to the child. It's going on tonight in this country. Give us some hope. What can people do about it?
Well, they can join the Women's Coalition. They've got me fighting for them, and I'm not going to stop. We've got the United Nations. We've got France now. They did the stealing the children in Angleterre, in England. There was a programme in November. That's won an award. Ian Joseph was on there. David Gale was on there. Jack Courtenage was on there. Some families that had lost their children. And the minister is now speaking to the European, the court, the minister in France, because it upset him so much. This programme is now going up for a Grammy. So other countries are recognising what's happening in England. And, you know, sooner or later, the UK are going to be forced to just pack this in. You know, they can't just keep stealing. There'll be no children left to bring up naturally soon. So, you know, I'm on the ball, guys. I know it's very stressful for me and I just like a quiet life, but I'm not going to stop because I can't stand to see this happening to all these people anymore. So there you go.
It's great work, Vicky. It's great work. Women'sCoalitionInternational.org is the website. You'll be speaking to me on these issues again in the future. Thanks for doing it, Vicky, and thanks for sharing that. About seeing your daughter in March, and can't be easy for you, but I believe there'll be a day of reconciliation, and the state will eventually have to reconcile with you and other mothers and their children in the future as well. There will be a day of reckoning as much as a day of reconciliation. Thanks, Vicky. Continued success to you in your work and in this campaign that you're doing as well.
Can I just say, because I like to say this when I'm speaking publicly, Romany, I love you, I'm your mummy, and I'm never going to stop fighting for you, darling. Okay, thanks.
Cheers, Vicky, thanks for that.
Thanks.
Bye. The amazing Vicky Hague on the line to us there from France, very famous horse trainer here in the UK, working in France now, talking about Women's coalitioninternational.org. We'll take a very, very quick break. Back with more in a minute. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back to the programme. Can you believe those emails that came in there about the social services telling single mothers your boyfriend might be dangerous to your son or your daughter? If you don't stop bringing him around, we will take the child. We will get an order from a family court judge to take your child away. But excuse me, Mr. or Mrs. Social Worker, my boyfriend has been clean for 2 years. He served his debt to society. He's a good lad and he's got a job. Well, we don't care. If he comes around again, we're going to take your child away from you. This is the reality in the UK. That's incredible, isn't it? I bet you there are people listening to the programme who just don't believe that. They'd be like, no, it's not happening. It's not happening that. Nobody's doing that. They are. They are. Thank you, by the way, for the guest suggestions to the programme. I've had a few since I put out a call yesterday. I do like that, and I will, of course, endeavour to get those people on. It's a rare thing when somebody says, get him or her on, and I say no. There'd have to be a pretty good reason for it. I do draw the line at... No, I won't say, because they'll get myself into trouble. There are things I, you know, I won't... there are people I won't have on the programme. Not because of their opinions, but for various reasons. Plagiarism is one. You know, libel is another. There are a number of people in the independent media, and God love them, they mustn't have a pot to piss in. Why do you say that, Richie? You're not flush yourself. I'm not flush, but I do have a pot to piss in. I've never been flush, but yeah, there are people who say things about people knowing full well they will never, ever be sued for libel because they don't have a pot to piss in. And I won't have those people on the programme because ultimately, you know, I or Fab Radio or davidicke.com would be sued. So we can't do that. Tiger tweets, hat off to Vicky, humbled by her commitment, wishing her success, love and light there. Emotional there at the end when she mentioned her daughter Romany. And, you know, I reiterate, there will be a day of reconciliation, but there will also be a day of reckoning. There will be. And at some stage in the next 15 to 20 years, the state will be sued for sums of money that you couldn't even imagine by the sons and daughters who were disappeared away from their mothers in their thousands, because it's 20,000 a year. 20,000 a year. They will have their day. Have no doubt about it. And the state will have to cough up. There's no doubt about that either. Now, we did a kind of a pilot for season 4 of the Richie Allen television show. And I'm due to be back there tomorrow, but I can't. We can't do the TV show tomorrow. We are going to start the TV show the following week, and then we're going to have an unbroken run of Thursdays. I'm telling you, we are. If there is a God, he or she is my judge. we will. So tomorrow there will be a radio show as usual. I'm on the air tomorrow as usual, 7 p.m. radio show as usual. TV show next week, all right? And I am doing a radio show on Friday as well. I'm doing a show with Marwa Osman live from Beirut on Friday lunchtime at 1 p.m. UK time. We're going to talk about Yemen and a lot more besides. Marwa Osman, somebody I think is a top woman. Marwa will do the show with me on Friday. Ramadan at the moment. And she spoke to me about that today. I invited her on today, but she couldn't make it. So there you go. Just about the end of the show. All that's left for me to say is thanks for listening. Thanks to Simon and to Aaron Calland, who look after the videos, the YouTube videos and the website respectively. Two important guys who work with the programme. Thanks very much to you for listening. Thanks to George Webb, fascinating guy in the first hour. And I will book that agreed show with George for very early the week after next. He's going to tell the entire story, like Jack and Ori, from start to finish, in a way that somebody who is new to it will understand it. So we're going to do that in either a week or 10 days from now. George has agreed to it. We'll get him into his studio where he can do it. We'll get the bells and whistles. We might even do some audio. We'll get some clips. We'll put this together, his story that he's been working on. We'll do that as well real soon. That's it for Wednesday. Massive thanks to Victoria Haig and her courage. Women's Coalition International.org. Again, George Webb, thank you for listening. We'll do it all again tomorrow, Thursday. Excuse me. Had a big sup of water there and it's gone against me. We'll do it all again on Thursday at 7 p.m. BST. That's tomorrow, Thursday. Radiohead signal, the end of the programme. The podcast will be online very, very shortly. The videos will be on YouTube tomorrow morning. I think I'm doing the videos. Simon's got internet problems. So the videos won't have any bells and whistles. I've been Richie Allen. Thanks for listening to me. Look after yourselves and one another until tomorrow. Bye for now. Here's Thom Yorke. Bye now.
Two jumps in a week, but you think that's pretty clever, don't you, boy? Flying on your motorcycle, watching all the ground beneath you drop. You kill yourself for recognition, you kill yourself to never. Part of pieces, you just sit there wishing you could still